Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. Dave Bryan at SteelersDepot.com, and I'm David Todd from The Hammer Speaks. Dave, the dust has settled, I guess, is the way I would put it. I'm going to go to 100% on Mike Wallace now and saying that he's not going to sign an offer sheet with somebody, although it is still out there as a possibility. But we've seen some of the big moves. But in Steeler land, the interesting stuff since we've spoken last is we all knew Casey Hampton had a big contract out there, and he was a guy who might end up being restructured. It turns out not really restructured. Basically, Casey Hampton took a big pay cut, and the Steelers have $3 million more in cap space.
Yeah, we've talked about this all offseason, David, and always knew it was a possibility. You know, being that the word came out yesterday, it lets you know that the move was made probably a few days before that for him to take the reduced salary. Basically, what he did is he reduced his base salary to $2.8 million, and he did away with his $1 million workout bonus that he was scheduled to receive. And basically, that reduced his cap number by $3.09 million. So now his cap hit for, let's see, what will a cap hit be? I have it up here somewhere. But anyway, I mean, his cap hit should be just under $5 million now, $4.966 million now. So, you know, another thing that this might tell us is, he's going to be on the roster now. Now the question becomes, does he start the season on PUP and miss the first 6, 7, 8 weeks or so? He'd have to miss 6 at least. Or, is he going to be ready by week one? That's really the only mystery I think we have with Casey Hampton now, and it frees up, a good $3 million, which I think if you add in the $1.5 million veteran salary cap credits, which I posted about last night, at some point, you know, that's a floating $1.5 million, whether or not they've applied it or not yet. I have the Steelers right around $9.5 million in cap space when you include that. So quite a bit of room to work with.
Yeah, I think that's all good stuff. And as you said with Casey Hampton, I think Kevin Colbert spoke about it at the Combine very directly. He said, look, it's a different situation than Rashard Mendenhall. He's not looking to be, cutting and sprinting. He's got to be a big leverage guy. So as long as he has, kind of the support and strength in that leg, I would expect him to be back and probably ready when the season starts, and we'll see how that goes. To your cap space comment, we talk about $9.5 million, and as I've said over and over again, you have been on top of this more than anybody in the media about where the right numbers are. They're going to have, they're going to spend X amount of dollars on the two backup quarterbacks, which look like, I can say, with a lot of comfort now, that, Leftwich and Dixon are going to be the guy. Leftwich and Batch are going to be the guys. And with Dixon going and as an unrestricted free agent, see if he gets a contract somewhere. But those guys are going to sign. That's going to take up $1.5 million or $2 million of the cap space. But again, welcome back Cotter. Welcome back Cotri. He's my guy, and hopefully they can get a deal done with him. And then the question is, if you allocate about $5 million to the draft, is there room for a guy like William Gay to come back and be one of the other guys who takes up some of that space? That's how I think that the allocation is going to be. Again, we talked about, maybe finding a guy for around the $1.5 million level who could be a Kieron Fox type of guy, an Arnaz Battle type of guy. There are a few guys out there that I'm sure they'll look at, but that's how I expect the allocation to go.
Yeah, and, the contracts with Batch and Leftwich, if those guys do not get any attention elsewhere, there's a little rumor floating around that Leftwich might actually get some attention from Bruce Arians over in Indianapolis. So If you put two and two together, it would make kind of a little bit of a sense to kind of take the reins for the first little bit until Andrew Luck's ready. Would already know the Bruce Arians offense. He'd make a little bit more money. He'd be able to start a few games. So, you know, I don't know how much credence to lend to that. Just, I mean, it's something to definitely think about. If he does not get that attention, he would probably come back to the Steelers on what's called a qualifying contract, where he'd be paid the minimum salary for his cured seasons in the league, and his cap hit would be much lower than that. So for guys like Batch and Leftwich, you're talking about roughly $1 million cap hit for both of those guys combined. Maybe a little bit more than that, but not much more. A guy like William Gay, roughly about $500,000 cap hit on a qualifying contract. So $1.5 million really is not a lot of space for those three guys when you're talking cap room. Jericho Cotchery also there. You know, been some reports that the Jets might have some interest in taking him back, and supposedly he might be interested to go back to the Jets. I really find that hard to believe, all the bad stuff that he kind of said after exiting the Jets. There's also rumor that the Chiefs might have some interest in Cotchery as well. Of course, everybody supposedly has interest. We'll have to see when the visits actually take place. But yeah, those are the guys right there. When you look at another $4 to $5 million possibly allocated towards the draft picks, as you noted, outside of that, and hopefully a Mike Wallace first round, a year one cap hit, that's it.
Yep. And it seems like it seems like everything's going according to plan right now. I think there's a big $3 million on Casey Hampton is going to allow them to make that move, hopefully with Cotchery in my book, but it gives them the flexibility to do a few other things. The big news we see today on Friday is the Peyton Manning stuff is now back center focus after 48 hours of free agency. We've seen a lot of guys sign a lot of places, and we're getting into some of that. But the word is now that maybe Peyton Manning has actually not only seen and gone through a physical with the 49ers, he actually threw for the 49ers. And there's no doubt in my mind that's the best fit for him. I've thought it all along. They would obviously, the whole idea about in the NFL, you hurt your starting quarterback's confidence or whatever. Look, this is – we're professionals. I'm all about competition, and I know guys feel great about themselves and blah, blah, blah. But, Alex Smith on his best day has to even know that Peyton Manning is a better quarterback than he is. And there are not three quarterbacks in the league who shouldn't sit there and say that when being honest. Him going to the 49ers seems like just a great fit. And what I'm hearing is that they have offers on the table to Alex Smith and a Peyton Manning, and it's basically whoever signs first. And it would have, Alex Smith, if Peyton Manning doesn't sign, obviously Alex Smith's going to have a little more leverage. But what are your thoughts on him going there and the Denver thing again, where he's going to work out, and Tennessee?
First of all, yeah, I think we're down to three places with 49ers sticking their head back in this thing now. Of course, Denver, Tennessee, and the 49ers. They mentioned, I had to Google this word, David. You know me in big words. Clandestine. That's what the 49ers labeled the workout as, or Adam Schefter, I think, labeled it as. A very secretive workout he had with them. Here's another kind of awkward moment for you, David. Tom Condon represents Peyton Manning. He also represents Alex Smith.
Yeah.
His partner Jimmy Sexton represents Tim Tebow. So just a little twist and a turn there on this. But, hey, that's why, that's what Tom Condon's job's to do. And sometimes it involves pitting his guys against each other. And on top of it, like you said, this might explain why it's taken so long for Alex Smith to get a deal done with him. And speaking of the 49ers being back in this thing again, Matt, Maioko, I can't pronounce his last name. He's been a beat writer for the 49ers for a while. He now writes for the CSN Bay Area website for them. He had an article up on their site. I think it was up late last night, talking about after they re-signed Carlos Rogers and all, and talking about the cap space they have left. They have plenty of cap room still, even after everything they've done right now. I think, I'm looking for the total right now, but, you know, they have had in the visit thus far, free agent wide receivers, Chaz Schillens, former free agent from the Raiders, Brandon Lloyd, of course, and Mario Manningham, and there's yet to be anything done with any of those guys. So they're approximately $18 million underneath the cap right now. And, you know, pending what happens with Manning's situation here, you know, could they still be a player in the, you know, despite the signing of Randy Moss? I don't know. Maybe they could still be a player in here for Mike Wallace, especially if they get Manning.
Yeah, well, you know, you would think if they get Manning, the cap space goes away in terms of what they might have, depending on how they structure his contract. So I would think actually getting Manning probably makes it less likely. Sure, they can be in there. We've said all along they're the one team, or I've said all along they're the one team that I actually think it makes sense for, and they have the cap space, and they have a late first-round pick. But again, you know, if they're a mystery team on Peyton Manning, then, you know, maybe they're doing a clandestine thing on Mike Wallace as well, and testing the waters. But, I at the end of the day, as I've said, I don't see it happening. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll keep our Mike Wallace banter to a minute today. don't see it happening at the end of the day. But I will tell you that at the end of the day, I think people have to be somewhat surprised that Mario Williams ends up in Buffalo. The NFL is not like Major League Baseball or other sports where, you know, guys are willing to go anywhere in the NFL. We saw Reggie White go to the Green Bay Packers. We've seen guys move around, and they'll go to any team if the money's right. It's in the right situation, they'll do it. But still, on the destination map, Jacksonville, Buffalo, places like that, you just don't necessarily expect to see the highest profile free agents end up there. And that's just what we saw with I guess it's 50 guaranteed, but it looks like he's going to get, again, he'll make the whole $90 or $100 million that he's going to get over 6 years. Were you surprised at all by that?
I wasn't too surprised with the signing. It wasn't one definitely that I would have predicted, but I'm not overly surprised. I think he's a good fit there. I think they'll use him properly as a defensive end there, and I definitely could see him playing there. I don't know. You know, you got to follow the money, though, and if that's where the big money was, and they kept him in town, and he never left from there, so... I mean, that's a lot of that'll buy a lot of buffalo wings in Buffalo, that's for sure. Don't color me too surprised on that. Carl Nix signing with the Buccaneers, that was not surprising. They had the money to throw around with that. Paul Solioli, the nose tackle with the Dolphins, going back there, not too surprising. Was there anything else that kind of stuck out with you? The Saints had to replace their guard situation. They got Grubbs away from the Ravens, so you know I think that's a pretty good signing there. But what else sticks?
I thought that was an overpay. I thought that was a big overpay. Grubbs goes for about 9.5 average annual value. Nix does to Tampa, and Grubbs goes at a little over 7. I wasn't thrilled with that signing in terms of what they're going to do with that team. Of course, you need to protect Drew Brees, excuse me. But I thought they overpaid for that.
Well, what were they going to do? That's a gigantic hole to fill there.
Well, I don't know, but you're looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing with two undrafted free agents at guard, and they're paying them $1.2 million. I don't know that. $7 million for that guy is the right answer, but we'll see how that plays out. We have guys in the media talking about how people might take a run And why didn't the Steelers put a first-round tender on Ligurski and Ramon Foster? And, of course, we're still 2 days in and anything can happen. But people just don't understand that there are guys out there who, you know, it's amazing even in the media that people overvalue the players the Steelers have. Look, the Steelers put the low round numbers on these guys because they are so unlikely to get tendered to go somewhere else with 430 free agents out there, a whole draft class coming out. You know, they're not going to go overpay for guys like Ramon Foster and Doug Ligurski. So this whole concept, again, it just baffles me how people don't understand. This wasn't even a question in my mind that you low round tender these guys. And if somebody does want to come in and do that, which doesn't happen in the NFL, but if somebody does want to come in and do that, you know, then the Steelers have an option. They get to make a decision about what they want to do. So, again, looking at how the Steelers manage their cap, it baffles me how, you know, people are so sure. People just don't get it. People do not get it. They overvalue their own players. They look at their own market. The fact that it wasn't even they put the second round tender on those guys. You know, people were talking about putting a first round tender. People, the big guys in the media, it just fucking blows my mind, Dave.
You got David using the F word now. Consider that horse beaten now to death. We touched on that. Well, you know,
every podcast.
Mike Wallace too. Until something happens, because let's face it, in that article that I posted on free agents that the Steelers signed over the years, and of course this is no surprise that they've been inactive thus far this year, there's not going to be a lot of free agency to talk about except other teams' players here. And the Steelers don't lose people that they don't want to lose either. They re-sign their own, and that's the way they do business, so get used to it. What do you think about Eric Winston still being out there on the market?
A little surprising. I don't know if that's due to the fact that he was such a late cut, and maybe, you know, teams didn't get to prepare for the fact that he might be there. I got to say I'm surprised. I thought 48 hours. Somebody sees that, reconsider how they're going to allocate their dollars. The only reason, as I say, the only reason I think it is because maybe teams didn't prepare for it, and maybe he. Being, you know, totally blindsided by this, maybe he's taking his time and he's going to say, you know, I assumed I was going to be the starting right tackle for the Texans this year. Now all of a sudden my world's changed and I'm not going to make a decision in 48 hours. I'm going to take, you know, if I do actually have five or six suitors out there, I'm going to take 5 or 6 days myself to figure it out. So that's how I would color that. But yeah, a little bit surprised being as high profile and as well thought of as he is.
You probably hear the dog in the background. I left him out. So if you're listening on the podcast here, I apologize for that. It's a bad year, another bad year to be a free agent, not big name running back this go around too, David, because really I think Peyton Hillis is really the only big name to sign. And I think he only got 1 year. I think I saw $3 million on that.
Yeah, $3 million for Peyton. I'm a little surprised. I don't know what Jamal Charles's health is like. He should be fully ready to go, having gotten hurt in whatever it was, the first or second game of the season. I'm a tad surprised they were the team that signed him and that he went for that low.
You still got, you know, you still got Michael Bush and Tolbert out there as well too. So not a lot of movement on fringe. Of course, you know, I like Michael Bush. I think Michael Bush could be an every down back. I've liked what he's done with the Raiders. Is he worth probably some of the stupid money that he thinks he's going to get? Absolutely not. Mike Tolbert, this is a guy that I bet he thought he was going to have a lot more interest than what he's gotten thus far. And I think it's going to be a while. I think he also visited the Chiefs as well. So unless something happens there, you know, he's going to go on down the totem pole for a while. And same with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm too, way down there. These are guys that are going to be waiting, probably another week or so to get any attention on the free agent market. Right now, it's all about wide receivers. Anybody that can get after the pass rusher. I mean, after the quarterback, like pass rushers, like defensive ends and stuff like that. But You know, Cortland Finnegan, I think that was a good signing by the Rams, going back with Jeff Fisher over there. Carlos Rogers, as we mentioned, stays with the 49ers. You know, really, would you call it a sexy, outside of Peyton Manning, would you call this a sexy free agent class?
You know, I think the class is probably, you know, you got enough guys out there when you got 400 guys that the class probably at the end of the day, every year is probably just the breadth of talent is probably relatively similar. I guess maybe the thing is we didn't have a lot of courtship with Mario Williams. He went to visit Buffalo and they got the deal done. And we haven't really seen too many guys kind of, you know, we're seeing the courtship go on with too many guys. It seems like deals get done. So I think, you know, the lather gets built up and we see all this stuff the first 2 days. But, you know, really at the end of the day, I mean, teams filled holes. I mean, Tampa did a lot of work. Some other teams, you know, got guys they wanted to get. But at the end of the day, you got to remember there's still 300 and X number guys out there. And these 300 guys will probably have more of an impact than the 50 guys. I don't know. Who knows? But these 300 guys are going to be important on the definition of how the league takes shape over the course of this coming season. And we'll see how that plays out. And that's where, you know, we'll see if the Steelers sign, you know, Leftwich, Batch, Cotchery, and Gay. And, you know, those are four guys. And look, they're not going to define the Steelers season, but they're four guys who are going to have an impact on the Steelers season.
Oh, absolutely. And people, you know, I've heard a lot of the bashing of William Gay was definitely not as bad this past season as it was the past. But people were saying, oh, you know.
That's only because I backed off because he played better.
I thought he played. I've been a Gay supporter for a while. So, you know, that's out there. It's on tape. It's in my writing as well. You could do a lot worse for bringing a guy back in, especially for depth purposes or a spot starter like William Gay, especially if it ends up being a one-year qualifying deal with a minuscule cap hit attached to it. So, you know, and we've named them. I mean, that's it as far as the free agents, and that's how the Steelers do business. And going forward from there, I want to kind of play off of history of the Steelers free agent signings under Kevin Colbert that I talked about, David, going back to 2000. If my records are correct, Kimo von Olhoffen was Kevin Colbert's first free agent signing in February of 2000, if you can believe that. Now, also in that same year, throw these names at you, jar your memory here, Chris Sullivan was brought in, defensive end from the Patriots, Rich Tilske. Do you remember him, the guard from the Jaguars? And who could forget Kent Graham from the Giants, David?
I got to tell you, I was a Kent Graham fan. The other two guys, you did jar my memory. I had to go back and I'm not sure I would have nailed. I think I would have nailed position. I certainly wouldn't have nailed what team they came from or what year. But, yeah, you see those guys on the back end that bounce around.
And of course the biggest name, I think we both can agree, the biggest free agent signing that Kevin Colbert has had during his run with the Steelers in 2002, James Ferrier, when they got him from the Jets. Just a fantastic. He's played in 154 regular season games and started all 154 of those regular season games. And of course the Steelers just let him go recently. Right there with him a few years later, 2006, of course they got Ryan Clark from the Redskins, another great signing there, still playing today, of course. You know, probably heading into possibly his final year as a Steeler here, maybe this next season, maybe 2 years left, we'll have to see. Some other names, of course, that was brought in by Colbert, Mawaldi Moore has paid dividends, I think, over the years. Charlie Batch, although he has not started many games, just a great locker room presence, veteran leadership there. And now for the bad news, mentioned to Kent Graham. I'm sure you remember Sean Mahan, David.
Sean May, receiver?
No, you. I. How could you forget the?
I'm thinking of Maury. I'm thinking of Sean Maury.
Yeah, Mahan, the center from the Buccaneers.
Yeah. Hit one and done. Yeah.
One season and done for I forget what the contract was back then. They ended up trading him back to the Buccaneers. I think they got two footballs and a bucket
and a good bottle of Gatorade.
A bucket of chicken for that. There, Deuce Staley, of course. You know, it could have been worse with Mr. Sweatpants, Deuce Staley there.
Well, hey, listen, I was a Deuce Staley fan, and I'm still a fan. He had some productive time.
It wasn't much of it.
Dump Staley, you know, there's some good Deuce Staley stories that we'll let, you know, people can Google the Deuce taking a dump, the Deuce taking a deuce.
No, that's Najee Davenport.
I'm getting my facts wrong.
What are you smoking, crack?
Oh, it's Friday afternoon. It's NCAA tournament time.
Holy moly, you lost that much money last night?
No, I went to the Penguins Rangers, and we had a late night in New York City. So, but I will tell you, I put up some
I'm going to save this tape. I hope everybody's getting a chuckle out of this. Deuce Staley taking a deuce. Oh, that's great. That made the pod. That probably made everybody's weekend right there, David.
Edit it.
I'm not editing this out. I'm not editing this out at all.
Take it out.
No, Deuce Staley, taking a deuce.
I'm not even
he took
a drinking yet.
Deuce Staley took a deuce on the Steelers.
Deuce Staley put up some good numbers until he got hurt. He had some good numbers.
While we're getting
eight games, I think in eight games he had 800 yards, right? First eight games as a Steeler.
Oh my God, Dave, you got me cracking up here. Let's see here. 2004, 192 attempts. 830 yards. Okay.
Yeah, I think you got 800 in the first eight games, and that was it.
Yeah. Then of course after that he was pretty much wearing the sweatpants all the time. After yes. that,
he looked good on the sideline.
Yeah, he would just in
he the, wasn't taking it. He wasn't taking a deuce.
No, he wasn't taking a deuce then, David. Oh my God, you're killing me here. Let's go over a few other names here. Now that we got me all choked up. Kevin Barlow, remember his return for the. Off season in he was signed May of 2007. Of course, former Pitt
from San Francisco.
No, he was a Jet. He was spent the time with the Jets that year before that.
I remember him.
And you don't. he didn't even make it to training camp or out of training camp at that point. So that was a failed move right there. But you know, overall, I mean, basically, if you go by this list, and these are all moves that I have up on SteelersDepot.com that happened pretty much in the prime free agency period. This does not count the few trades that have happened during this time. The undrafted free agents, which the Steelers, of course, have had a lot of luck there and all. So interesting list. Make sure you stop by, have a look at it, see if I forget somebody.
I like that. I'm gonna have to, I haven't seen that one yet, so I'm gonna have to peruse that.
Somebody just left me a note too. Chad Brown, did he return from free agency? I'm trying to remember. I might have missed him on my list, so I very well could have missed him, his return.
We signed him as a free agent. We signed him as a free agent. So.
Yeah, I thought so. I didn't think that I missed that. I'm Googling it right now. You know me. I'm up in my 40s. Thank God I don't drink as much as you do, evidently. So.
Well, you don't drink at all, so I win.
You won that. He did return for the one season after the Patriots. That's right. He did. So I forgot him on the list. Yeah, of course, he was drafted by the Steelers, went to the Seahawks. After the Seahawks, he left the Patriots. After the Seahawks, he went to the Patriots for 2005 and returned to the Steelers in 2006. That's right. It jarred my memory now. So I'll have to add him to that list. Although he played.
I feel like we're getting lost, Dave. We haven't talked about Mike Wallace, and we haven't slammed the media. About the cap issues for like 10 minutes now.
Absolutely. We're actually giving some people some food for thought here outside of that. So, that makes for a good list. And, outside of that, what's going on, Peyton Manning's going to be the top story for a while here. And I think that'll play in, you know, like you said, I'm convinced too with you still that Mike Wallace stays. I still think it will have to wait until maybe the middle of next week for it to possibly be a slam dunk at that point, because I think there's still a little bit of movement left to be done here. So you got anything else for us?
No, as we talked about, we'll see what the Steelers do with their own. As always, that's been the modus operandi, and I think you're right. Peyton Manning, we'll see what happens with him. That'll be the big news. We'll get at it Tuesday, but I think that's where we are.
All right, and we got a few other emails in here. And C. Murph, I think he let me know back to what he was meaning in a few of his tweets. I think he's talking about likely to be earned incentives and not likely to be earned incentives. So all we'll right. we'll have plenty of time to address that probably after some of this free agency gets going here. We'll break down the difference of that and how that counts towards the cap. Going forward, and I think we also got an email in here from somebody else. Let me pull that up real quick. Rick Vincent, I think, he sent me an email, longtime listener. He likes to do a lot of research as far as the draft goes and all like that, and he's mentioned a couple of names for some wide receiver tendencies over the past 10 years, players that he likes, and what I'm probably going to do, Rick, instead of reading this on the air, I'm going to invite you to send me an article on this with breaking down your research, and I'll be glad to put it up on SteelersDepot.com, and then we'll discuss it on the podcast as a follow-up because we're fixing to get hard and heavy into this draft stuff, so that'll make a good topic. So hopefully you heard this podcast, and feel free to email me an article and an expanded view of this email that you sent me. So as always, a little bit shorter podcast today. David's punch drunk, and you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David on Twitter at Hammer Speaks. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. You want to take us out, David?
Yeah, and John Abraham just agrees to terms with the Falcons, so he's back in the fold for them. So as always, thanks for listening. Love the comments and the support. You've been listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.